and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Welcome back to campus. I love that I'm looking over at you and I see you're wearing black and gold, and that, of course, are the colors of Southwestern, and I really appreciate that.
Well,
was that done by intent?
I can't take credit for that. But I do want to thank you. You know, we came in the studio and there was a nice Southwestern University mug at my spot, so I'm appreciative.
Which
of that.
Is black
thank
and
you.
Gold.
It is
by design.
Yes, we are talking about gratitude and appreciation, as it turns out today. And this was a topic that you really wanted us to explore during the season of higher ed. Why did you want us to talk about gratitude and appreciation?
It's something that I've been thinking about for a little while now. And we are living in such a fast-moving society. Technology draws us in. Social media allows us to connect with other people's emotions. We get news faster than ever. We're on top of things through people's individuals, you know, video cameras on their smart devices. We see images literally almost as they're happening around the world. And with all that speed, one of the questions that I've been wondering is, do we still have the time and the space to be grateful and to be appreciative? There are a million directions you can go with this, and I'm happy to go wherever you want, but just an appreciation for kind of the positive things that are happening in one's life. It is so easy to be distracted by all the events that are world events, all the world emotions, and it's easy to be distracted. I learned over the summer that one technique of mindfulness, which is a more generalized version of kind of meditation, if you will, which to me is not connected with any kind of spiritual exercise, but rather a way of allowing one's mind to rest and to recharge. We recharge our smart devices every night. We plug them in. Sleeping, many people think, allows our brain to recharge. It allows our bodies to recharge, but our brains are really working. They're dreaming and thinking about all sorts of things, scary dreams and happy dreams. But to have your brain truly recharge, it has to be an awakened experience where you're letting your mind rest. And I learned recently that gratitude is a way of doing that.
Walk us through an example of that, or tell us how gratitude can be a manifestation of that.
So I'm not an expert in psychology or in these fields, but there is literature out there, scientific literature, that shows that people who will actually handwrite a thank you note, a note of gratitude, and then mail it, deliver it, give it to that recipient, the writing of that note, the quiet time to acknowledge appreciation, allows us to in some sense recharge ourselves. And you've heard these things about coloring, you know, they have these coloring books for adults. That's all in the same spirit. I just think that we as a society, we as a culture are devolving to a place where we don't have the time and the space to be grateful for one another or for where we are or for the positive things in our life. And that should be part of the education.
Where do you see education fitting into this then? Or what is the role of education in helping people get in touch with and express gratitude and appreciation?
If we think, as we have discussed many times over the past few years, that education is about forming habits and developing practices of how we live our lives, then we need to train individuals and allow them to practice these habits of living well. And part of that is to live a kind of a joyful life where you appreciate the things around you, and part of that can be through gratitude. So I think it absolutely should be some of the things that we teach how to live a richer life, and that should be part of formal education.
What might that look like?
Well, I mean, look what I'm doing in my class, for example, which is part of the class itself is to say that you need to practice this type of behavior, and again, explore We have various meditation groups on campus. Our student counseling center actually runs. It's called Meditation Mondays. Right at noontime, you can go and just do some kind of mindfulness. There's a student group called the Meditation Club. But there are lots of ways that don't even involve meditation. But to explore those avenues and to find ways where you can uplift yourself. And showing appreciation is one way of doing that. And I think it's something that we have lost the art of showing appreciation for each other.
Boy, I imagine that students and teachers would both be probably appreciative and relieved to have something like this introduced into kind of their normal course of school and semester, because it can get so busy, so crammed with just getting stuff done, that to have it be a sanctioned part of time, you know, of the time they spend in the classroom and outside the classroom would probably feel really good.
Yeah. And also, I think there are a lot of people out there and probably a younger iteration of myself would also look upon this and say, that's just weird.
Yeah.
So I acknowledge the fact that what I'm suggesting here is a little bit odd, but things that are different and new are often odd. But I think it's worthy of at least thoughtful consideration. But I think you're right. I think that there are people that would appreciate that space. Now, you have to balance that with the fact that if it becomes one of the things that you have to do, now I've got to schedule it and I've got to schedule time to be mindful, or I got to schedule time to write that, you know, a note of gratitude and or whatever, then it becomes an extra thing on your list of things to do. And then it actually defeats the purpose. So there's a balance here of how do you create space in your life to allow your mind, your brain, your body to just, you know, heal and to recharge. I mean, look, in lower grades, students at many programs are involved in physical education. And even in higher education, sometimes there are physical education expectations, or students do extracurricular activities and they're playing on, you know, various sports teams and whatnot and doing competitive things there. So it's a mind-body thing. Well, the brain, I would argue, is that conduit that leads between mind and body. And so we need to take care of that, which means we have to give it time to rest, regenerate, and allow it to flourish, just like we're trying to allow ourselves to flourish.
Well, one thing that I'm always very grateful for is our puzzler.
Nice.
Nice. And I think it's time for a new one.
I have one for you. This actually, so someone shared this with me. I found it very thought-provoking.
Okay.
Now, I will say I was able to figure it out.
Okay, you were. All right.
Yeah, but this one's a little tricky, and even describing it. So give me a second here.
All right.
Traditionally, this is like under the category of puzzle where usually there's some kind of threat of death. Like if you get this wrong, or you're with a team of people, and if not one person gets it right, then you all die. That's a little too violent if we're talking about gratitude. So let's just let's change it a little bit, and it'll be just a fun game where you really want to win.
Okay.
Okay. So you have three people.
Okay. Here are my three people.
Oh, look at you. Okay. 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 See, now you're distracting me with your drawing. Okay. I'm not going to look at you. We have three people.
Yes.
And they're lined up, as you've drawn them, in a line where the back person can see the first two people.
Okay.
The second person in line can see the first person, but can't see the person behind.
Got it.
And the first person in line can see nobody because they're facing straight ahead.
So everybody's facing forward.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. And they can see the people in front of them, and that's it.
Right.
Okay. Then the game show host, let's say, I'm making this up on the fly, shows these three friends five different hats.
Okay.
Five different hats. You can think of them like dunces caps.
Oh, okay.
You're drawing them as little
well. I'm just
rectangles.
Drawing their representations.
Okay. Anyway, but I will tell you that three of them are black.
Okay.
So there are three black hats.
Okay.
And then there are two white hats.
Uh huh. Okay.
And our participants see this.
Okay.
But then they are blindfolded.
Okay.
And then they are each given a hat, which they then put on.
Okay.
And they cannot tell their color, obviously, because they're blindfolded and you can't feel it.
Okay.
Okay. So now they each are wearing either a black or white hat.
Uh-huh.
And they do not know. And the way that these three people will win, this is a team effort, is if at least one of them can correctly identify the color of the hat on that person's head.
On their own head.
Yes.
Okay.
Any one of them. Any one of them. Do you follow me?
Yes.
And usually, again, traditionally, if you don't have anyone does it, these people are killed. This is not going to happen today because this is a happy, uplifting episode on gratitude. So you just will get a very, very good prize for all three participants if at least one of them identifies his or her hat color.
Okay.
Okay. And they're all kind of working together. And these are all really bright people who listen to Higher Ed and Jennifer Staten all the time. So these are people that can really think through this stuff.
And this is collaborative. So they can discuss among the three.
No, there's no discussing.
Oh, they can't talk with
each other. They're in line. Nope, they're in line.
Oh, okay.
But they can hear each other. And they're going to start with the very person at the end of the line.
Right.
That person can see both the two people.
Sure.
So now the blindfolds are removed.
Okay.
So now the person at the very back of the line can see the hat color of the first two people.
Right.
The second person in line can see the hat color of the person in front of that person, but not the one behind. And the person in the very front can't identify any hat color of anyone. You follow me?
Yes.
Okay. We start with the person in the very rear and we ask that person, you know, and the person thinks. And the question is, you know, can you say with certainty what the color of your hat is? With certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And the person says, no, I cannot. I don't know the color of my hat. Then we go to the middle person. And the middle person is asked, can you say with certainty the color of your hat? And the person thinks and says, no, I cannot say with certainty, I don't know the color of my hat. And then we go to the person in the front and we ask that person can't see any hats, but can hear all this.
Uh-huh.
So everything was, the spoken word was heard by everybody. And that person in the front that can't see anyone's hat says, I know the color of my hat.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, what was the color of that person's hat?
Of the first person in line,
the front of the line. The one who said, I know the color of my hat. Whew, that was a long one. I'm sorry. But it's an interesting one. And it really requires you to think through this. Five different hat possibilities. Three of them are black. Two of them are white. And now you've got to kind of work through that.
Well, this will take some time to work through, but
you have a week. I will give you a week and no more time because the answer will be revealed.
We will go through that answer.
And our loyal listeners would refuse to not listen to the program.
Right.
Except on Sunday as the day of thought.
As a day of thought.
Yes.
And puzzling through the puzzler.
Puzzling through the puzzler.
So I'm curious. I'd like you to reflect on your time as a student, which obviously continues to this day, your time as a teacher. Is there something, a thing or two that you're especially grateful for or appreciative of from your time spent as a learner?
Yes. Well, I'm grateful for the individuals who have inspired me to think about all kinds of issues. Of course, often formally centering around mathematical issues, but also issues about just how to see the world and how to create and how to think. And I think that I've done a reasonably good job, even before I was aware of the fact that showing gratitude is a way of a mindful behavior that allows your brain to kind of relax and grow a little bit. Even before that, as a very young person, I always expressed very clearly my gratitude, not always with a thank you note, but I would just tell people. And I remember doing this starting in high school. My math teachers that I really just were very close to and found very impactful, I would give them gifts. I used to give them cross pens. I'd buy a gold cross pen for them. And I would have their name engraved. There were two faculty members that really were very meaningful to me. And these two women just opened up worlds of mathematics to me. So what I would do is I would take, you know, this gold cross pen with their name on it. And I would buy a large box of Cracker Jacks, and which always had a prize inside.
Uh-huh.
And I would very carefully with an X-Acto blade remove the bottom of it and dump out most of it because I would, you know, this thing is huge, but it would fit inside. I would seal it back up and I would give it to the person, you know, saying, I appreciate it. And they open it up and say, oh, isn't that funny? It's Cracker Jacks. I said, well, no, open it up. There's always a prize inside. And then they'd open it up and then they would see this gift wrap thing and they open it up and they find a gold cross pen.
Wow.
I started doing that at a very, very early age. And then as I became a professor, I found myself actually thanking students who have been really impactful to me just in terms of bringing joy to my career or have done really great work that just have made me very proud of them.
Well, and Ed, we thank you for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown. If you have an idea for a topic that you'd like to hear us tackle on Higher Ed, just email it to me, jstaten@kut.org. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at kut.org. You can also find us on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.